Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
My parents, there were times I was convinced they'd forgotten my name. Oh my goodness. That's A-level stuff. I'll do an arena show. The first arena that calls me to do a show, I'm in.
You can do this, but to be more accurate, you probably can't.
Jeff Lutz.
Okay, well, you don't be staying up late waiting for that call, please. What dimension are you living in right now?
Hoo-ah! 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's an excursion into the odd and into the very, very different.
Stand by for action.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's a Tuesday. It's the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Happy to have you along. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power, producing, engineering the show. As we get going here on a very cold day, but the temperatures are now supposed to be warming for the foreseeable future. We can hold some hope in that.
It's all relative.
What does that mean?
It's still going to be cold. It's just not going to be as cold.
Yeah, but it's going to be warmer, not as cold.
Right.
We don't want...
It's not like we're getting up to the 60s or even the 50s.
No, but we're getting into the 40s.
Barely into the 40s. It's, you know...
And then I saw 50 sometime next week.
I don't know if you saw that.
Well, I did. I trust my Weather Channel app.
I thought I saw maybe a 70. No, that was you. I was looking at you.
Is that supposed to be funny?
I don't know.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. You have my age on your hat.
52 on the 1st of February.
That's exciting.
According, of course, that's a long time away. But
I hope that works out for everybody. That's next, what, Friday?
What do I have on my hat?
My age, 42.
Well, that's a League 42 hat.
I understand, but that'll be for all year.
Yeah, you're 42.
It's a good age.
When I was 42, 1997 was the year. I was a year into being the sports columnist at the Wichita Eagle. Felt like life was pretty good at the time.
Absolutely.
And how old would you have been?
14.
14, 15?
Yeah, I would turn 15 late in the year.
Coaching summer baseball.
The first year of the Cyclones.
Second year.
Well, it was the first year.
You sure about that? I thought 96 was the first year.
No, 95.
97 was the second year.
No.
You played for the Stingers in 94 and 95.
No, 95 and 96.
That's not accurate.
Yes, it is.
I will bet you any amount
okay,
of money.
Okay, name it. Name the amount.
I coached the Cyclones in 96, 97, 98, and 99.
That is incorrect.
That is absolutely correct.
No, it's not.
I will guarantee it.
Okay, you said you name any amount of money. Go ahead and name it.
$4 million.
How about $150?
You played for Dave Martin in 94, 95.
Incorrect.
That's not incorrect.
I was 11 in 94. That was our last year at Duke's Diamond or whatever it was called. I was 12 in 95. We went to Minnesota in 1995 when I was 12. We played with the Stingers one more year after that when I was 13.
Nah, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Here's what we have for you on the show today. At 5:20, Manny Seferis. He was a member of the 1964-65 Wichita State Final Four basketball team. They are gathering in Wichita next month to celebrate that 60-year anniversary. And we'll talk with Manny, a seldom-used guard, but nonetheless a guy that has been an ambassador for that team throughout all these years.
If he was seldom used, that means he was still used.
Right. You know what seldom used is like.
I do?
I was always used.
Until you got cut.
I was used. So let's just say that.
Oh, I believe it.
So anyway, we look forward to having Manny on at 5:20. At 5:40, Anthony Castrovince from Major League Baseball, MLB.com, will join us. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame. Those selections are going to be announced a little bit later today. Looks like four. Looks like Ichiro, Beltran, Wagner, and
Sabathia. You think Beltran's going to get in?
I do.
What's he sitting at right now? Because this is going to drop a lot on non-public ballots.
Yeah, I don't know, but I was
the sanctimonious crew.
I was listening to MLB radio this morning, and they were pretty confident in Carlos Beltran.
Well, I hope it happens for him.
I think he was at close to 80%.
But I know the cowards who don't put their name on things are usually the ones that, oh, well, he banged a trash can.
Well, listen, I love Carlos Beltran, but he did cheat.
Fine, whatever.
I'm not a big cheating guy, as you can tell.
Oh, that's great. You know how hard baseball is to just, we banged on a trash can, we became world champs.
So you're all for cheating.
I'm not all for cheating, but it simplifies the issue in a way that it doesn't need to be simplified.
Answer this. Are you for cheating?
Sure. If it helps you win, absolutely.
Really? You're saying that on the record?
Why not? I enjoy winning. Doesn't everybody?
So cheating is okay.
What about
cheating on your taxes?
Have I ever done that?
Probably.
I wouldn't.
You don't have a problem with it.
I wouldn't even know how.
IRS, if you're listening, I'd check into this guy.
Who has
publicly said cheating is okay.
I know so little about taxes, I wouldn't even know how to cheat on my taxes.
Well, that's another.
Do you just not pay them? Is that what cheating on your taxes?
That's another warning sign.
Why?
Because you're trying to act like you don't know anything. I'd be all over you. IRS. If you're listening today, call me and I'll give you Jeff's information.
I'm sure they have it.
Well, you might want to call me.
No, I don't think they'll call you.
I don't like cheaters.
Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, why isn't Mark McGwire in the Hall of Fame? Because he cheated.
Sanctimonious people.
That's not sanctimonious.
You know what? We're putting guys in. Harold Baines. Let's put in Scott Rolen. He's a fine player. Whatever. But how about, here's a novel concept. What if the Hall of Fame was just for the best players?
Scott Rolen's a much better player than Harold Baines, by the way.
Fine.
Oh my God.
But he's
really?
Not.
That's the comparison you're coming up with?
I'm just saying, is he as good as Alex Rodriguez? Is he as good as Manny Ramirez?
You know why he's better? Because when he brushes his teeth, he has to turn the lights on. That's why.
I don't know what that means.
You know what it means.
I don't get it.
A-Rod can brush his teeth without flipping the lights.
Because his teeth are so bright, yeah, he takes care of his teeth.
After all these years.
Like Ross Geller and friends?
Exactly.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Listen, I'm not a cheating guy. You know that.
Great.
Quit trying to talk me into it.
But I don't like all these, I'm better than you. I'm the gatekeeper of this Hall of Fame, and if you took a pill or rubbed some cream on your leg, that means I'm better than you and you're not in the Hall of Fame.
It'll be fun to talk to Anthony Castrovince. We'll also talk to him about the Dodgers, who today look like they're signing Kirby Yates to their bullpen. If you're a free agent, and you're not signing with the Dodgers, you've missed out.
They've gotten everybody they've wanted. I don't think they've missed on anybody. I don't think they were second in the bidding.
How do you just go sign everybody?
Because you have endless amount of money.
All these owners have an endless amount of money.
No, they don't have the
most of them
$1 billion television deal that the Dodgers
they
have.
All have many. They all have enough money to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, no, not...
They really do. And Anthony Castrovince will back me up.
No, he won't. Ask him if the Royals could field the same
sure
team as the Dodgers.
They could.
Ask him if that would be financially viable for the Kansas City.
I'm going to ask him.
Ask him if the Sacramento A's could sign Juan Soto.
My friend David, who's putting my new bathroom together upstairs, warned me that there was going to be a little bit of an aroma. Are you getting that?
Yep. What is that?
Close the door. I want to make sure I make it to the show. Wow.
What?
I don't know, man.
You good?
I don't know. I think I am, but that's getting to me a little bit. Why don't you go open the front door when we take a break?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I'm not kidding. I think I need some fresh air going through. I know it's cold.
You want me to open the...
But I'm feeling some effect from the substance that he's using.
What does it smell like to you? Rotten eggs?
I don't know.
Are we having is there a gas leak?
No, there's not a gas leak.
Smells like rotten eggs.
Oh, God. You know, I'm going to go back to your wife and ask you a question, okay?
You're going to go back to my wife and ask me a question.
Because she's a pretty smart person.
Good.
Who do you think smarter?
Me or her?
You or her.
Based on what? Like?
No, just smarter.
No, like based on like common sense, real stuff, like not maybe
IQ.
Like maybe like intelligence. Me.
You got a higher
IQ. She's like an educational better than me. She's better at me than at that stuff.
You can't even put a sentence together.
Like the school subjects, she's better.
Look, listen to you right now.
What did I say?
You're talking like you haven't opened a book.
I have opened a book.
She's better at the subjects than me, but I mean, it made no sense.
How does that? That's made sense to me. She's better at math, science.
Those are the ones, man.
Yeah. Reading, numbers. Not math numbers, but like numbers.
You're not that good at numbers.
Stats. History.
You're pretty good at reading.
Current events, that's all me.
Some degree, maybe. How about you or me?
Like life, I'm way smarter than her.
You or me?
Me.
Life.
Life, me.
Why do you come to me for advice then?
When do I come to you for advice?
All the time.
I don't really come to anybody for advice.
All the time you come to me.
I've got it figured out, man.
Really?
I think so.
When did this happen? When did this confidence, this...
You've been asking me that for like 3 years, so it must have been...
No, this is a recent thing.
I don't think so.
What happened, though?
I don't... What do you mean what happened?
What clicked?
Just, I don't know what you're necessarily asking me.
Well, you didn't used to be this confident. So
I'm not always.
Well, why do you?
But I'm not gonna bow down. I'm not gonna whimper over here. In the
you'll whimper.
I've never whimpered.
you whimper quite often.
I've never whimpered.
Oh my God!
I don't.
Guardians stink. I can't.
That's not whimpering. That's being a fan.
I can't be with them anymore.
Oh yeah, I've said that.
My gosh.
31 years later, I can't be with him anymore.
You do it all the time.
I don't think I do. But so do you.
Are
you
playing any high school basketball tonight with school? I guess we're all in tournaments, so it doesn't really matter.
There's a lot of tournaments that happen early in the week. Most of them are...
Did we play them last night with the weather?
Yeah. Cheney beat Rose Hill. Andale beat Garden Plain.
There you go.
Those are the only scores I saw. Or looked up.
Well, that sets up a very good matchup Friday.
Cheney and Andale.
Tournament.
I think I might, maybe I'll go to that game.
Well, you don't live that far.
Yeah, my friend Jamin, his family lives in Cheney. And
what?
His kids go to Cheney.
When did they move?
It's been a little while, not too long.
Well, how long?
A couple years, maybe.
Really? Does he still work here in Wichita?
I think. I don't know if he works or what he does.
Cheney.
He lives in Cheney.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Good for Jamin.
He's been to a lot of Cheney games.
Well, that's news to me. If somebody said you've got to move to a small town in the area, not Derby, that's not small anymore. Not Mays, not Andover.
3A or below.
3A or below. 3A or below?
Yeah, Cheney's 3A. Andale's basically 3A, 4A.
I think either Halstead or Cheney.
What about Medicine Lodge?
Is that in our area? That's like a all-day drive.
What is Medicine Lodge? Where is what
is? It's a nice town, but it's a little ways away.
What about Douglas?
No, I wouldn't live in Douglas. I spent a lot of time in Douglas.
Winfield's too big.
Winfield would be my... If I moved anywhere, it would be Winfield.
Here's what I was going to do. I think...
All right, we need a break. Oh. We'll come back and get your thoughts about what you're going to do. What were you going to do?
I was going to... But you looked up yesterday. I was going to give you the name of the midseason tournament and you tell me who's hosting.
Well, I know I didn't look them up. I just looked up one tournament.
All right.
That can be your game later.
Well, I have a game, but I'll play that too.
All right, we'll take a break. Manny Zafaris, who had part of the 1964-65 Shocker Final Four team. They're going to get together at the Drury Inn coming up in February to celebrate. We'll talk about all that with Manny next. This is the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Sometimes one and done, the musical theme of the week. This band had a big hit with Tainted Love, Soft Cell. And that was about it for Soft Cell.
Pretty much.
We're chasing Manny Zafaris, formerly of Wichita State basketball, from a long time ago. Shockers have been to two Final Fours, one of them, of course, in 2013, the other in 1965, when the Shockers went out to Corvallis, Oregon, and were handled in the semifinals by UCLA. With a undermanned team that no longer included Dave Stallworth, who had used up his eligibility at the semester break. And you can't relate to this stuff. Nobody can, but it was a much different world. And Nate Bowman, who was declared academically ineligible. So they went out there with a team with no taller starter than Melvin Reed at 6'5". And they were kind of overwhelmed by UCLA losing that game 118-82. Then they lost in the third place game to Princeton.
And Bill Bradley,
who scored a tournament record that was ultimately broken, but at the time, 58 points in that third place game. The Shockers acquitted themselves well. They just didn't have any size.
Yeah, well, they were missing their two best players. Definitely their one best player.
Well, no, Nate Bowman was their second best player, their second most important player, because at 6'10", he gave them that man in the middle.
And it would have been nice to see how the Shockers would have fared with those two guys on the court.
Well, I think they might have won it.
Probably much better.
Allow the opportunity for a young player by the name of Jamie Thompson to take on a much bigger role. And in that Final Four, Jamie Thompson was incredible. And he had a tremendous career at Wichita State out of Wichita East High School, where he was teammates with Kelly Pete. And later they both went on to Wichita State and were key parts of that 65 Final Four team.
There you have it.
You
wrapped that up pretty succinctly. Congratulations.
That was pretty good.
I don't know if I was intimidated.
Well, those teams meant so much to my youth, my pre-10-year-old youth, that I was had the unbelievable fortune. I'm just a kid in Derby. My dad worked at the beach. We didn't have enough money to buy tickets for soccer basketball, even in those days when I'm sure tickets weren't that much. But I had an aunt who was a professor at Wichita State, and she was given tickets every year, and she gave those tickets to us year after year after year.
It's a heck of a deal.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Did she ever say, actually, Tulsa's coming in or Cincinnati's coming in?
No, she never did. I think I'll use that one. She gave us a whole book of tickets every year.
What an effort.
How much my dad appreciated it, how much I appreciated it.
Did she ever say, take Bobby next week. I'd like to go with you this week, Ray. Did that ever occur? Just put your microphone up and talk.
You go onto these tangents that don't fit the moment.
I'm a tangent guy.
Yeah, but they don't fit the moment.
What's the moment?
You got to read. When I'm trying to be sincere and, you know, talk about things that matter, did she take the tickets for the Tulsa game?
Yeah, that's interesting to me. I've heard the story 91 times. I'm digging into a little bit more information.
Of course she didn't take the tickets for the Tulsa game.
I'm just asking.
I went to every game.
That's wonderful.
From the time I was 7 years old until, I don't know, I missed a couple because I had, when I got to high school, I had some basketball practices that overlap.
No.
But I didn't miss many soccer games in those years. Section R, row 23. I can't remember the seat numbers. But that was before they'd remodeled the roundhouse.
When you got us season tickets, section T, row 22.
When did I do that?
In the early 90s. Thanks for that, by the way.
Bad teams.
Yeah, not great. Really bad.
But you enjoyed it.
Yeah, we had fun.
It's fun to go to soccer games. It always has been. And I say that as somebody who hasn't been to a soccer game now in a couple years.
More than a couple, probably.
No, it's been a couple years. When in Isaac Brown's final year, I went to a game. But only one. And
is this Mills' second or third year?
This is his second year. So, I've kind of backed out of that. I still watch them a lot. Although I have to admit, I haven't watched a single second of the last two games.
I watched a little bit of the East Carolina game, unfortunately.
I watched the Thursday game at Memphis.
Yeah, but that's not going to be any fun.
I got to get my Memphis guy on.
Jeff Calkins.
Tomorrow or Thursday.
Who did Memphis recently lose to? Because they dropped in the rankings.
I don't remember who they lost to. I mean, you can't just spring that on me and expect me to know.
Well, you're the guy who like knows stuff like that. I may catch it occasionally because I see somebody dropped in the rankings. But am I always going to look at the rankings? No, not really.
Well, that's fine if you don't always look at the rankings. They lost to Temple in Philadelphia by 7. Then they came back to beat Charlotte. In Charlotte by 9. They've only lost once in conference. And they've lost other games to Auburn, Mississippi State, and inexplicably to Arkansas State.
Inexplicably. That one doesn't make a lot of sense.
They have a tough stretch here, as tough as it can get in the American, I suppose. As you know, I'm not convinced the American is very good at all. They play at home against Wichita State and UAB, then they go on the road to face Tulane. I suppose that would qualify as a difficult stretch. Right now you've got Memphis, North Texas, Temple, and UAB all at 4-1 in the conference. Tulane at 4-2, South Florida at 3-2, nobody else above 500. Wichita State at 1-4. They are in next to last place. Only Charlotte at 0-6 has had a rougher start in the conference than the Shockers. Not good.
Not good. Still time, but I don't think anyone's abundantly hopeful.
Well, there's still time, but you're running out of time. The only time you have left is to try to get the at-large spot. And that was probably always going to be the
case. You mean the automatic spot?
The automatic spot.
Yes.
You're not going to get the at-large.
No chance.
There's no at-large available in the American except possibly to Memphis if they don't win the conference.
Right. I would say Memphis is pretty firmly in the at-large conversation.
Yeah, unless they just blow it here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put anything past Penny.
I've seen enough of Penny Hardaway
to know that they could collapse.
Yeah, they don't usually collapse. You just
said the other day that you could see Wichita State beating them. That's how much faith you have.
No, I didn't say that.
You did.
I don't believe
that. Yesterday on the show.
I don't believe that I said that.
You did.
No, I said, I now watch Wichita State beat
them.
Like, that's not.
Like, you mentioned that it's a possibility.
No, I was throwing that out like Memphis is going to kill them. Now watch them lose or something. Like,
you mentioned that it's a possibility.
No, I didn't.
That's how much faith you have in the Penny Hardaway.
I'll always like Penny.
Well, I hope so.
Penny's all we got in this conference. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about that.
This conference used to be stocked with young up and coming coaches. Can't even name the coaches anymore?
No, I don't know the
coach. Who's the UAB coach? No idea.
What's that guy's name? Kennedy.
Billy?
Not Billy. Andy Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. He's all right.
I got one.
Good.
You know what? If it is not blatantly obvious.
I probably could have come up with it.
No, you couldn't.
Who's the Temple coach? You don't know.
The new coach, Andy something.
Everybody's Andy to you.
No, it seriously is.
Charlotte? No idea.
No clue.
Texas, San Antonio, new guy. South Florida, new guy, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know this conference. I used to know the conference when I was involved in covering.
Remember when they had
Missouri Valley? I always knew the coaches.
Remember when they had Dawkins and all these other young, good coaches?
Is Dawkins a good
Dan
coach?
Dan Hurley was in the frickin' league.
Is Dawkins a good coach?
I don't know, but he was a name.
Well, who's the
Mick Cronin was in the league.
Yeah, but is he a good coach?
He's at UCLA. He's doing all right.
Is he a good coach?
He's pretty good.
Is UCLA really?
Cincinnati fell off, and UCLA got a little better when he.
Kelvin Sampson coached in this.
Kelvin
conference.
Sampson coached in the league.
He's a great coach.
Yes, he is.
Arguably the greatest coach.
This was the place to be for young coaches at a time.
You'd put Kelvin Sampson and maybe Dan Hurley in the top 10 coaches of today list.
I wouldn't say maybe, yeah. Dan Hurley. He's a two-time
Dan
defender.
Hurley. You're right. So that's pretty good.
Yes.
You wouldn't put Mick Cronin in that list.
I don't believe that I would.
You wouldn't put Penny in that list for sure.
No.
You'd put Bill Self on that list.
Duh.
Who else?
Probably got to put Tom
You'd
Izzo.
You'd have to put Nate Oates in that list.
Probably have to put Bruce Pearl on that list.
You'd probably put Bruce Pearl in that
probably
list.
Probably have to put Rick Barnes on that list.
Give me a second. Tennessee's one of those programs that, yeah.
There's a bunch of those programs, though.
You gotta win one for me.
Most don't.
At some point.
Chris Beard.
No.
He had a bad ending at wherever he was.
Chris Beard's dead.
Texas. But he's back at Ole Miss doing okay.
Here's Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com, one of their lead writers. He was in Wichita for the Jackie Robinson statue ceremony back in August. Got to meet Anthony. Came on our show, and we appreciate him being on again. Good afternoon, Anthony.
Hello. Nice to hear from you again, Bob.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. I enjoy following you on Twitter and your snarky comments. Am I allowed to say that?
And puns.
They're fun. They're fun. You're a fun follower.
Sure.
I'll just put it that
That's,
way.
You got to keep it fun because there's a lot of not fun things going on in our world. So baseball's supposed to be fun. So let's keep it that way.
Yeah, the more fun, the better. So let's start with something that people may not be having a lot of fun with, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers basically signing everybody who becomes a free agent.
Yeah.
That's obviously an overstatement. but it may not feel that way to some people in baseball right now. What's the fallout of this? Is this a good thing for baseball? Is it a bad thing? Is it just a thing?
Well, I think it's just a thing, really. I think it's a thing we've seen before. It's a sport without a salary cap. They do have luxury tax thresholds that have prevented certain teams and some big teams, the Yankees included, from doing completely crazy things in free agency and with their payroll. But if you are willing to pay the tax, you can do extraordinary things. We saw that with the Mets a couple of years ago, and a lot of the conversations I'm hearing about the Dodgers now, we were having about the Mets 2 years ago, and it turned out that team kind of stunk. I don't think that's going to happen in the Dodgers, but it certainly can. You know, baseball is a funny sport that way, but I think it's just the nature of the beast when the only limitation is a tax, and it can be a big one. That tax can get pretty monumental if you run up your bill high enough. I think the more interesting conversation is about the deferred money and you know, simply how much money they have deferred for future years. It's not a new tactic by any means. You know, plenty other teams have done it. Plenty other contracts have had it, but they're running up some pretty significant debt for future years. And I don't know if that's just going to be passed on to another ownership group down the road or who knows what. But so, I mean, that's all a kind of big picture conversation. Maybe it leads to more conversation in the future. You know, I think there's a worthy discussion to be had about both a cap and a floor in MLB and whether that would be good for, you know, the long-term health of the game and for smaller market clubs and that sort of thing to have more of a level competitive field. But it's really interesting because between injuries and age and having PED testing in this era and clamping down on that, I mean, you see some interesting things happen where sometimes it pays to be younger and more flexible and sometimes the little guys take down the big guys that way. So I just kind of roll my eyes at a lot of the conversation about the Dodgers because it's like, A, we've seen this before, and B, nothing's guaranteed in this game. I mean, they're going to have a lot of pressure on them, of course, and I'm sure they relish that, and they did get it done last year. But look how they got it done last year. They were really piecing it together pitching-wise where, you know, most of their top starters were on the shelf. You know, that kind of thing happens a lot in our game.
I think there's a sentiment among some people that there's a lot of owners just sitting on their hands, and I agree with that to some extent, but that, you know, if they really had the will to win, that they'd go out and build a team similarly and be active in these free agent and trade markets. How accurate do you think that is? We know that owners don't really open their books. We don't see the finances, but could the Colorado Rockies theoretically say, hey, we're getting Juan Soto and we won't be outbid?
Well, I think they can. I do think, though, that it's just the nature of the game where, you know, certain markets just don't have the revenue streams as other markets. There's a real disparity there. You know, you mentioned the Rockies. I mean, they extended Nolan Arenado at one time, and that was their star player, their signature player. Troy Tulowitzki had been there beforehand, and that got away from them. They ended up trading him, but they went all in with Nolan Arenado and very quickly regretted it. I think that's what happens in markets of that size is if you're going to do contracts like that, you have to be willing to do multiple contracts like that. Otherwise, you have one player making up 25-30% of your payroll, and if he regresses or gets hurt, you're in a real bind really quickly. The best teams spread it around and have a pipeline. I mean, that's what kind of gets overlooked with the Dodgers is this is not a club that just went out and bought a championship. And this is a club that does everything well. They scout well. They develop well. Yeah, I mentioned the Mets earlier. They tried to throw money at every problem. They tried to build a champion in free agency. It completely blew up in their face. This sport really doesn't allow you to do that. It's just too multifaceted, and there's too many different dynamics in a 162-game season plus – you know, what it takes to get through the expanded postseason format now. If you don't have that pipeline to start with, if you don't draft well or trade well or develop well, I mean, you're not going to be in a position that the Dodgers are where you can then go out and add on, you know, pieces in free agency and be in a really good spot. So you're absolutely right. There's teams that can and should do more, but they do have to be cautious. I mean, I'm here in Cleveland. Like, they were able to get their franchise player, Jose Ramirez, to sign a below-market deal. He wanted to be here. He is here. And that contract, it should allow them to do more. They haven't done, I would argue, they haven't done enough around him because they got the ALCS last year and probably should be doing more this winter to build off of that. But, you know, those are the one-off situations you need where you're able to lock up a homegrown player and then build around him as opposed to trying to build your club externally. It's almost impossible to do.
Talking with Anthony Castrovince from Major League Baseball, MLB.com. What's your feeling about the Hall of Fame? It looks like we got an opportunity, and our show records a little earlier. We air a little later. The class may have already been announced, but it looks like we have an opportunity to have six former players going into this class, all of them worthy. Are you on board with Dick Allen, Dave Parker, obviously already in from the Veterans Committee, and then Ichiro, C.C. Sabathia, Billy Wagner, and Carlos Beltran?
Yeah, it looks like a pretty good chance of a pretty big class here as we sit here recording this. I mean, Ichiro is in for sure. The only question is, will he be unanimous? I'm pleasantly surprised by the public balloting for CeCe, a guy who I covered very early in his career here in Cleveland, was, of course, at the Jackie Robinson statue unveiling out there in Wichita last summer. Great to see him at that. And he's been such a great ambassador for the game, you know, events like that and just generally, you know, being outspoken and just being such a great representative of the game and had a great career. I am a little surprised. He doesn't have the traditional Hall of Fame numbers in terms of wins and innings necessarily, but you have to gauge guys, judge guys within the context of their era. It's actually interesting. He has the most innings of anybody who's debuted since 1989. He has 251 wins. He has over 3,000 strikeouts. So on some level it is there in terms of the big round numbers. On some levels it isn't. I think he's generally regarded as, you know, one of the premier pitchers of his era, and it's great to see that he has a real chance of being a first ballot Hall of Famer. If he doesn't get in this year, he'll get in next year. And then, you know, it's more iffy. Billy Wagner, he was 5 votes short last year. I think he'll get over the top tonight. Relief pitchers are probably still a little underrepresented in the Hall of Fame, so he should probably be in there. He's in the 400 save club. And then Carlos Beltran, that's an interesting one. You know, his role in the Astros sign-stealing scandal in 2017 probably hurt him in his first ballot and maybe a bit in his second ballot, but that kind of softens over time. At the end of the day, you look up and he's one of the great power-speed combos the game has ever seen. So he might be one where that one seems like a 50-50 ball, you know, right now, where it's hard to say how the private ballots will go versus the public ballots that we've already seen, the writers who have made their ballots public. But again, he's another one where if he doesn't get in this year, I like his chances in the next couple of years for sure.
So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, I don't think at all, but you see voters in the Pro Football Hall of Fame like, hey, Terrell Davis, he had a 2,000-yard season and was done by 28 or something, Hall of Fame. Yeah. Tony Boselli, 4 really good years at tackle, career ends really early, Hall of Famer. Do you think there will ever be a shift to how voters, especially younger voters, look at this? David Wright, I mean, we have so many guys on this ballot who they were Hall of Famers until they were 30, and then they didn't decline well enough, so they're not they're not Hall of Famers. Will there ever be a shift to look more closely at David Wright or Felix Hernandez or some of those guys?
You know, I've seen some support for Felix Hernandez, which I think is good to see because, I mean, there is like a peak there of 6 or 7 years where, again, just utterly dominant, you know, one of the best pitchers of his era. And you have to understand that the role has changed so much, speaking specifically about starting pitchers. You know, we can't expect guys to have 300 wins, you know, to get in the Hall of Fame, or we're never going to have another Hall of Famer. So, you know, everyone's going to have their protocols with that and what they're comfortable with, but I would be comfortable voting for Felix Hernandez. I think Andrew Jones is a really interesting test case for what you're talking about, and we are seeing more support. Andrew Jones he was on 7% of ballots in his first year in 2018. Last year was his 7th ballot, and he's on 61.6%. I think he's going to get in. I don't think it'll be this year. It could be next year, but, you know, this year we'll see where he finishes. But that's a guy who his career went off a cliff after 30. But you got to remember that he came up at age 19, and he was one of the best defensive center fielders of all time. And he might have done enough in that age 19 to age 30 that the fall off doesn't matter so much. And, you know, there's an appreciation for what he was able to do within that window of time in his 20s. He wins 10 gold gloves. He's a 5-time All-Star. He's one of the best players on a great Braves team. If he gets in, I think that does kind of show a shift in what Hall of Fame voters are willing to let through the door, really. And I say that in a good way because I'm a big Hall guy, and we really have to judge players within the context of their times as opposed to trying to compare everybody to Willie Mays and Babe Ruth. I mean, it's not reasonable. I think we have the metrics now to do a really good job of understanding how a certain era functioned, what was valued at that time. You know, CeCe Sabathia pitching in an era where the bullpens became of greater prominence, and now we're at the point where bullpens often pitch as many or more innings than the starting pitchers. So you have to recalibrate along with that.
Anthony Castrovitz with us. I got one more question, and it's this selfish one. I'm a Cardinals fan for a long, long time. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing this offseason. Nolan Arenado must feel like a pinball. Is Heim Bloom, who's going to take over after this season from John Mozeliak, is he going to get this thing figured out and straightened out? Are the Cardinals going to kind of be the gold standard, at least in the National League Central, ever again, Anthony?
I think the NL Central, it doesn't take much to become the gold standard there. I think having a good, solid plan in place and executing it, you know, doing well in the drafting, as they've done many times in years past, can point you there. And they have such a supportive fan base that then you can top things off by making moves in free agency. So you could argue they should be trying to do that right now, with just given the state of the division. I don't think, you know, the Brewers had a tremendous year last year, but they have their challenges for sure. You know, they lost Willy Adames in free agency, and they just generally have a challenge. They traded Devin Williams, you know, so they just generally have a challenge year over year to remain at that level. The Cubs aren't blowing anybody away. The rest of the division, the Reds and Pirates, aren't blowing anybody away. So there's opportunity there, it seems like, every year. Now, I do understand that the way things have blown up in their face the last couple of years, there is an argument to be made to do what they intend to do, which is, you know, get younger, get more versatile, and just, you know, take advantage of what trade chips they have. But to date, they haven't done that. That's why I'm scratching my head right along with you. I'm not sure what's going on there this offseason. I get that Arenado is kind of held up by Alex Bregman's free agency, but still, nothing else has happened. Like, if you are going to go down the retooling route, then deal Ryan Helsley from that bullpen. You know, there's probably a strong market for him coming off the year he had. So just pick a lane, you know, go for it or don't, but pick a lane. Don't be stuck in the middle. This offseason seems like they're stuck in the middle. As for Heim Bloom, I have tremendous respect for him. I thought he got a raw deal in Boston. I think you look at, you know, they're one of the more, they might have the best system in the game right now. And that's a big credit to the work he had done before he was unceremoniously canned. So I think that was a really good gift for the Cardinals. And, you know, if you're going to transition from the Mozeliak era, as they are doing here, Heim Bloom is a good way to go, in my opinion.
Anthony, we really appreciate you taking some time to come on with us. We love talking baseball. Nobody better to talk it with. Thank you, and best of luck the rest of the week, and we look forward to spring training.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. Great to talk with you.
Anthony Castrovitz. Always enjoy his segments on a hot stove, and whenever he pops up on the MLB Network.
Very good at what he does.
Well, yeah, he's a Cleveland guy.
Absolutely. Former.
I'm sure that means a lot to you.
Of course it does. He is the Indians beat writer for a while.
All right, coming up next, we've got a game coming up in hour number two, but first we're going to talk with former Shocker Manny Seferis from the 1964-65 Final Four team. That's next. Stay with us.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.